Thank you, Mr. Smith, and good Sabbath to everybody. I'd like to welcome our guests. I know that's already been done, but I'd like to welcome you again, and also those of you who are joining us on the Internet, trusting that this Sabbath day is very restful for you as well. One of our favorite topics for discussion and listening to different sermons and sermonettes has to do with prophecy. And, of course, we started a Bible study this morning that ties into that. And when we think of prophecy, several things can come to mind. Christ's return, of course, and all the events that will take place just before his return. The beast powers and the wars. The plagues and the fact that unless Jesus Christ returns, no man will survive the devastation that is to come. We also think of the different books in the Bible, like in the Old Testament, Daniel and Isaiah and others. And the New Testament is filled with prophecies as well of what is just ahead of us. In the New Testament, the book that comes to mind the most, I think, is the book of Revelations. And starting in Revelations chapter 1, let's go ahead and turn to that. We see the table being set for what is about to happen to all of mankind and to all of God's people as well, to his church and what will happen to us, things to soon take place, and some things that should actually be starting to happen already. Revelations chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1, and I'll be reading this from the Modern King James translation. Revelations 1, verse 1. A revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to declare to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads and hears the words of this prophecy and the ones keeping the things written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, even from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests of God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Things to soon take place. In verse 6, we are told here that we are the ones to become kings and priests after Christ returns, leaders in God's kingdom. Part of the prophesied things to happen includes what we are to be doing. We are to be trained, and we are to be training now to be true leaders of God. We are to develop godly character. It's just one of the things that we are to be learning. There are many things that we, as true leaders of God, are to do, and there are also things that we are not to be doing. Today, we will take a brief look at some of the to-dos and some of the not-to-dos of God's true leaders. If you would like to have a title, of those of you who take notes and like titles, title this A Servant Leader's Checklist. A Servant Leader's Checklist. When we consider what a leader is, we think about the different jobs and the different positions that a leader has. Like in a company, somebody could be the owner or the president or an executive director. In sports, there is the team leader or the coach. In scouts, there is the troop leader. In marriage, there's the head of the family, the father, in most cases, although in today's society, the leader could be the mother. In a family with more than one child, the oldest child is most of the time considered a leader of the children. There is an expectation placed on a leader, and in the family as well, not just in a company or in a team, but anyone who is considered a leader, to look out for the younger ones, to help keep things fair, make sure things are done right and spoken properly, also to set the example for others. With all leaders, there are things to do, and there are also things not to do. We are to learn to, we, as God's people, are to learn to become leaders. And it takes focus. It also takes learning from experience, not just our experience, but watching other people as well and learning from their experience. And also this takes help from God. We have to have the faith that God will help us. We are called to be part of the firstborn in the family of God. We will be firstborn, doing all the things that the firstborn are to do. Leaders as examples of how to serve, how to teach, how to deal with others, teaching the correct way to act, to speak, and to live, all as God's righteous way of life. All of us can look back at our youth when we were growing up, and of course some of you are young, so you're taking a look at that now as you're going through things. And perhaps you had siblings or you had friends who had sisters and brothers. There was something different about the oldest kid, a boy or a girl, didn't matter who it was. They were looked up to in a special sense. There have been lots of studies and books and papers written on the firstborn, the mindset that is in that child, and the ways of the firstborn as leaders. Some of the pressures that help them build that type of characteristic and that personality of the firstborn. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Looking back at our years growing up, we can all remember events that took place where the oldest kid did something that was great and maybe something that we looked up to him for. And we also can remember some things that the oldest didn't do that was so good, did something that was not a good thing. I grew up in a family with six other siblings, and I am the oldest of seven. So I remember some of the good things that I did, and I'm happy they turned out good. And I also remember some things that were not so good, and some of them are very embarrassing. Matthew chapter 20. Whenever I did something not good, my parents would remind me that I was the oldest, and I needed to pay attention and set the proper example for my sisters and brothers. I was to be a leader and an example of how to serve. This is what they told me. Sometimes the lessons we learn as we're growing up, or we should learn from others as well, are very good for us, and they should last the rest of our life. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 25. But Jesus called them and said, "You know that the rulers of the nations exercise dominion over them, and they who are great exercise authority over them. However, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This shows that we are not to be as the leaders of the world in that sense. We are to be different. They wish to be seen as important and to be looked up to and to be catered to, served as well, held up on a pedestal. We are to cater or to serve others, to serve, to be involved for the benefit of others. Part of our task is also to lead others to make good choices. Sometimes the challenge for a servant leader is to get others to do what they should do or not do what they shouldn't do because they want to. That can be a challenge. But because they want to from their heart, not because they want to so they don't get punished. From a personal desire that they would do that. We can do that by example as well. Still, there are things to do and not do as leaders in the world and for us as servant leaders. Let's look at some of them, some of the do's and some of the don'ts. And let's start with the don't list. And we'll look at, again, there are many, many different things that we should not do and many, many things that we should do. But we're only going to take a look at three of the do not do items. A servant leader of God does not. Number one, a true servant leader does not require recognition. We serve undercover, so to speak, in the background. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, if you want to turn there. We see this often, like last week in the Super Bowl, the different leaders of the team who they wanted to be recognized for the things that they did in the sports world. Great leaders of the world in different types of things want to be recognized. Mr. Putin over in Russia for all the things that went on to put the Olympics in the Sochi. He wants to be looked up to for all that was accomplished. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'll again be reading from the modern King James Bible. Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do merciful deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your merciful deeds, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may have glory from men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do merciful deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, for that your merciful deeds may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret himself, shall reward you openly. Worldly approval and acceptance comes quick, and it also goes away quick as well. People tend to forget. Like, who was the most valuable player in last week's Super Bowl? Some may remember. I don't remember. I saw it on TV, but I don't remember who it was. So that fame goes away quickly unless you are focused into that type of thing. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. All the 12 disciples were told to do, we also, by extension, as well, we should do, but we should be doing it from the heart, because we want to. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And as you go, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You have received freely, so give freely. We are to give freely because we want to. It should be from our heart. It should be because we are servant leaders, not because we want to be recognized. Second, a true servant leader does not demand to be paid or to be rewarded. We give with no expectations. Luke chapter 6, verse 33. Christ was and is our example. We are to be humble servants as he was, not looking for pay or being paid off, or some kind of a reward. The question comes up, do we have a price? Can we be bribed or bought to help somebody? That should not take place. Sometimes the temptation as to be bribed to help can trip us up. If there's an opportunity to help somebody, but somebody wants to pay you for it, and sometimes coming to mind is don't remove a blessing from someone when it's in your power to do that. If somebody wants to help and serve, let them. And if you want to help and serve, go and do that without being paid or rewarded for it. Luke 6, verse 33. Again, never receive anything for doing. We should have a vision to focus on, giving up nothing from God to get from men. We need to remember that. Don't get from men by giving up from God. Verse 33 in Luke 6. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to those of whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to everyone, and we should be also. Therefore, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Verse 38. Given, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. They shall give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, it shall be measured to you again. The following of God's way is an if-then type of blessing. If we do for others and follow God because we want to from the heart, there are blessings that God will give us. If we do things to be recognized by others and to get their praise, then the blessings from God do not come because we've already received those blessings. If you call it a blessing that we've been recognized from others. A third item that we should not do. A true servant leader does not gossip. It is a way of putting others down. But why? Why do people gossip? To make ourselves look better or bigger, perhaps? To make self look in the eyes of others better than we are or better than that particular individual, the one who's being gossiped about. Romans chapter 1, let's turn there. This is a big item. And I know we've heard sermons in the past about gossiping as well. Gossip is a big thing to stay away from. We see this all over our culture, TV sitcoms, the comedies. We see it in the news and listen to the news media where they're actually gossiping about different things. Even people in general, perhaps those who are at work, gossiping about others. Romans 1, verse 29, and this time I would like to read this from several different translations. Romans 1, verse 29, and the first one I'll read is from the Bible in Basic English, and it reads, being full of all wrongdoing, evil desire for the goods of others, hate, envy, putting to death, fighting, deceit, cruel ways, evil talk, and false statements about others. Do we see any of this type of thing in our culture today? I think we do. From the modern King James Version, it reads, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers. Gossip comes in the form of whispering, going over to somebody and just very quietly telling them a story about somebody else, in the form of gossip. And in the God's Word translation, their lives are filled with all kinds of sexual sins, wicked and greed. They are mean. They are filled with envy, murder, quarreling, deceit, and viciousness. They are gossips. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32 looks at all kinds of unrighteousness. When you have a chance, just sometime read through this and just think about it and consider how our society mirrors what is read here. Last week, Mr. Miller had mentioned about the congregation in Germany that after services discussed the messages. I think that's a phenomenal idea. I remember years and years ago, just talking to somebody this morning before Bible study, how from time to time we would do that after services or maybe before services about the messages of previous week and talk about them. This is something that we can do now. I think it would be a good thing for us to consider. Let's read verses 29 through 32, Romans chapter 1, and I'll be reading this one from the English Standard Version. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 29. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are filled with envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Today, there is a national movement to accept a perverted way of life, according to God's word. Even in Sochi and in Russia, this very topic is being focused on. There is a group of people who follow one specific way, and they want others to accept it. And this is what God says, that that if those who practice it, they deserve to die, but also those who approve of such ways. It's interesting, if we know God's instructions and still practice the wrong ways and approve of those who do such things, we will suffer, and we will suffer death. A list of ways that are common in today's society include gossip. Looking at it again, they are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. This is quite a laundry list, isn't it, of the ways that a servant leader is not to be. But we are only looking at gossip in this particular thing. Why do people gossip? It makes us look good in our eyes, looking better than they are, the other person. Sometimes it's because of pride and selfishness. Maybe we're being bitter towards another individual, so we talk about them. Hostile reaction towards somebody, resentful. The feel of power over someone because of the things that we can say about them. Even low self-esteem because it might cause someone to strike out at others by using the wrong kind of words. Jealousy of others. These are the kind of things that we should not have as a part of our life. And wanting to be accepted by others who also are this way because of the way that we talk. Psalm chapter 19. When we speak about others, how do we come across? Positive or negative? How does God say we are to be? We all know what we are supposed to be. There is an instruction that comes in the form of a request, so to speak, a prayer, if you will, and it's in Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's look at just a couple of items that a true servant is to do. What a true servant leader does. First, a true servant leader of God uses his gifts for others. It's a positive approach. And we know that the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 are the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Again here, when we have a moment to think about and meditate about these things or even discuss with others the different gifts that God gives us through his Holy Spirit, how it could be used to benefit others. How it could be a blessing to others by doing that. For one example, how can the gift of kindness be a benefit to others? How could it be a blessing to others? When speaking to other people, perhaps they're in a hostile mood at the time, kindness can help bring a calm feeling over the situation or to them, or to the situation that's going on around us. There's not a whole lot of time to go into the example. Just some of you know that where I work, I was changed into another job, and I deal with people every day in a counseling kind of mode. And I don't know what's going on with them. I do know why I'm counseling them, but I don't know all the facts that are going on in their lives. And sometimes they come across extremely hostile. And sometimes it is the type of situation that instantly you want to become kind of put up a guard and defensive. And I have to turn to God because I need help to make sure that I don't lash out back at him. Otherwise, I can't be helpful. I can't do the job I'm supposed to. And it's often that we run into situations, maybe at the store, where we run into somebody or in the neighborhood that just is not in a good frame of mind. We all deal with people, and we never know what is going on in their life. Oh, we may have some kind of an idea, like I deal specifically with those who are losing their homes for different reasons. But we don't know all of the facts that have caused them to kind of respond the way they are. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. They may have just found out that they have stage 4 cancer. I talked with a lady who's trying to save her house that she just found out she has stage 4 cancer. A parent who is dying, perhaps. A child needs a lung transplant. And their spouse just lost a job. Now their health insurance is gone. Losing their home. And it wasn't their fault. The person we are dealing with could be a stranger, could be an acquaintance, a friend, could be a co-worker, perhaps a family member, even someone here in our own congregation. They are not ready to open up and to share with us what is going on in their life, but their demeanor is harsh, and it rubs us the wrong way, and it becomes bothersome for us, and we may want to just strike out. Ephesians chapter 4. How do we respond in the split second when something like that hits us? There is an instruction that we might want to keep deep in our heart to be used at all times when the situation develops. It's Ephesians 4, verse 29, and I'll read this from the Modern King James translation. Let not any filthy word go out of your mouth, but if any is good to build up in respect to the need, that it may give grace to the ones hearing. A filthy word does not come from the gifts of God or wrong speaking. A good word in respect to the need can be a blessing to others or a benefit that that person needed at that very moment, and we didn't even realize it. Let me read this again, but I'll read it from the easy-to-read version, Ephesians 4:29. When you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need, whatever will help them grow stronger. Then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. Looking at a second item of things that we should do, a true servant leader of God is encouraging. We look for ways and opportunities to make others feel important, involved, a part of the program, accepted, but to be encouraging. There are different ways that we can encourage others with our words and with our actions. Our speaking is first, and that's what we're talking about here. What we speak about and how we speak, the tone that we use, the volume, and what we say. We just recently had a Bible study on this very topic, and it kind of drove me into doing even more study on this, because it can help us to refocus our hearts and our minds on others, not self. We need to take away our wanting to do for self only. We need a proper spirit and the proper attitude that comes from God, not to serve for ourselves, but to serve from the heart and to serve others and to be an example of God's way of life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, we read, therefore, encourage each other and strengthen one another as you are doing. One way to be encouraging is to be comforting. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. To be comforting when someone needs it, that takes outgoing concern, the way of a servant leader led by God's Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. And I'll be reading this from the Modern King James Version as well. May grace and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be yours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our sufferings, so that we may be able to comfort others in all their sufferings, since we ourselves are being comforted by God. For just as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so our comfort overflows through Christ, training to be priests of God. Without God's Spirit leading us, we cannot be servant leaders. How about an action step? What's one thing that we can do to take these different things and put them into our life? Peter Marshall had a quote. He said, small deeds done are better than great deeds planned. Again, small deeds done are better than great deeds planned. We often plan to do things, but it's easier to do something small. We do a small deed to help somebody than to plan great, grandiose things and never do anything. James chapter 1. Focusing on the best for others, the need of others, and doing it with a smile. Again, because we want to. So the action step is to do small deeds for the benefit of others with a smile. James chapter 1, verse 22. But become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man standing, studying his own face in a mirror. For he studies himself and went his way, and immediately he forgot what he was like. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks to be righteous among you, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let's sum this up. We looked at only a few items that a servant leader should not do and should do on the list of don'ts. One, a true servant leader of God does not require recognition. Two, a true servant leader of God does not demand to be paid or to be rewarded. And three, a true servant leader of God does not gossip. On the do list to do, one, a true servant leader of God uses the gifts that God gives us for others, for the benefit and the blessing of others. And second, a true servant leader of God is encouraging. And the one action step that we looked at, we need to focus on the best that could be for others. We need to do with a smile. Do small deeds for others' benefits and blessings with a smile. Luke chapter 22. The greatest successful service in leadership comes from a servant's heart because we want to. Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 24. A great servant is a great person by example. Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them, are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief as the that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? That's, of course, the way the world looks at it. But I am among you as he that serveth. So Christ is our example, and he served, and we should also. Is it possible to have a servant's heart and not do anything? Is it possible to be a servant leader and not have a servant's heart? 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a final scripture. Every one of us can be a servant leader when we serve, if we do it because we want to and we do it from our heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. Here, a prophecy of things to come in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days grievous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, money lovers, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural feeling, unyielding, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Our instruction, even turn away from these. Here at the very end, God is telling us to turn away from that type of walk. We are instructed to turn away from these ways of the world. One important question that we can ask ourselves about all this, as a true servant leader, do I have a servant's heart?